Well, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 and get your Bibles out, your notepads ready. And today I'm going to be ending the series called On Purpose. How many have just been blessed by the series? Amen. And I just feel like the Lord's going to be saying things to us in weeks and months to come. And September's going to be a big month for us. And so I want you to get your heart ready. Open your spirit up. But we've been in this series called On Purpose. And you can remain seated. But I want to read this scripture to you for a moment. And we kind of started with this passage of scripture. And it says this. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what kind of works, everybody? Good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You know, when you ask people, what are you gonna do with your life? What do you feel like God's telling you? You can just almost see this dazed look in people's eyes. I can hear their eyes rolling sometimes when you talk about these kind of things, because they're thinking, you know, how do you really believe God speaks to people? Yes, I do believe God speaks to people. Yes, I do believe that he can give you impressions and directions. Just sometimes we're not listening when we talk about living your life on purpose. You have a purpose, live your life on purpose. And one of the things that we talked about is that when it comes to this, you got to remember, you weren't born knowing your purpose. You weren't born knowing your purpose. You've got to discover your purpose. You've got to discover it. And here's the deal, everybody, those of you watching online, here's the deal. Everybody in this room, everybody on the sound of my voice, every person that was born on this planet was born with an intended purpose of God for them to fulfill. You may not know it, but you got to discover it. The problem is so many people are frustrated at this point. I meet Christians that are frustrated at this, and I hope today there'll be some spiritual things and some practical things that'll help you know how to live your life on purpose. So you were created with it on purpose. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever walked into your kitchen and analyzed it for a moment. I know most of our focus here, most of us focus on the refrigerator. It's a good idea. But have you ever walked into your kitchen and just really thought about what's in your kitchen? Have you ever really thought about it? That every single appliance was uniquely designed by the manufacturer to accomplish a unique purpose, okay? Think about that just for a moment. Now, wouldn't it be frustrating if all of a sudden you decided that you were gonna say the oven is going to refrigerate my milk? And you stuck your milk inside the refrigerator, and the next morning, oh yes, it was transformed. It was cottage cheese the next day. Okay, but what if you decided that the refrigerator is going to warm your chicken? And so you put it inside of the refrigerator and you're ready to eat, and you're going to cut into that chicken and you're going to eat it. Let me tell you something. You could very well hurt yourself by doing those things, because the manufacturer uniquely created each one of those items to carry out a specific purpose. Not only could it hurt you, but how many know you'll get extremely frustrated trying to warm things in the refrigerator and trying to make your morning coffee in your toaster? But do you realize that people live this way all the time? They're doing things that God never intended them to do. They use other people to look at, well, I want to do what they're doing, when in fact God's never called them to do it. And so I meet teenagers, I meet adults, I meet senior citizens that are frustrated because you're trying to make coffee in the toaster and it just doesn't work. You were uniquely created by the Creator to accomplish a specific purpose. You have to discover it. Now, here's the one thing I do know. The reason why I want to discover it and get it from God is because he's the manufacturer of Sam Riefkohl. Well, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. You might not like this specimen of humanity, but God really likes what he created. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sadie. I appreciate it. Amen. Well, one vote, because Brenda is not here to say amen. And here's what I know. When people start remembering that God created them, then they will go to the manufacturer to find out what its unique design is to do. But when a culture and human beings want to deny the existence of God, you will live your life in absolute frustration. You'll never make enough money. You'll never have enough men or women in your life. You'll never have enough job promotions because you have not gone to the one who uniquely manufactured. And how many of you believe that you were created by God? How many of you believe that? How many of you believe you do have a purpose? Okay, then here's what I do know about my kitchen. I know that the refrigerator is not there to serve itself. It's there to serve me. I know that the toaster is not there to eat the bread I put in it. I know that the oven that warms the food is not supposed to digest the food that's in it. I know that the refrigerator that kept everything cold is not there. It is served, it is created to serve somebody. Here's the problem. Some of us just want to get bigger pay raises so you can buy you more stuff and you forgot what to do with it. There are some people who want promotions and platforms simply because they got to get approval of themselves. That's not what you were created for. How many know that if God uniquely created you, then there's something he wants you to do. You are not there to serve yourself. You are there to serve the one that created you and to serve the ones that he's brought you to. Can somebody say amen or oh me or something? Amen. Because what I've discovered is that I'm not here just to mark off a to-do list for Sam Reifkogel from God. I know I have an ultimate goal from God. And you have an ultimate purpose from God. You remember what we did in that one series? We said this: when your purpose is to love God completely, you will love others unconditionally and reveal God clearly. There'll be no question. Don't you have a problem with people who always have to say, I'm integrous, I'm integrous, I'm integrous? Anybody that has to keep telling me how much integrity they have usually doesn't have integrity. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Have you ever noticed in political cycles, I notice this every time, everybody wants to make sure everybody knows they're Christian. I get it, it's cool, it's fine. But can I tell you something? You never have to announce what's obvious. I don't have to say I'm integrous, just be integrous. Have you ever met somebody who says, I love my wife, 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 I love my wife? If you got to keep telling me, there's something wrong here. So I'm going to quit asking you if you love your wife. I'm going to ask your wife, do you think he loves you? Because you never have to announce what's obvious. Can somebody say amen? So I want you to find your ultimate why. I want you to discover it. I want you to see what it is. When your purpose is to love God completely, you will love others unconditionally and reveal God clearly. So today, on this closing one, I want to help you just for a moment to maybe discover what is the purpose of why God wants me to love him and what I'm ultimately to be doing. So I'm going to help you with this, okay? So here's a few things, all right? We're going to cover three things real quickly. Here's the first thing I want you to get is I want you to look for indicators. There are indicators on that God has placed in you for the purpose of your life, indicators. What I want you to do is to identify the gifts that God has given you. Everybody in here has gifts. Everybody. Everybody watch on. You've got a gift. You've got to find the indicators that are showing you this is something God created you for. To serve with. I love Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I love this scripture. This was so good. It says, for God is working in you. And then he's given you the desire and the power to please him. Here's what's happening. Do you know that as you're in relationship with the Father, do you know that he's actually working stuff in you? And then these little desires start popping up. He's the one putting those desires in your heart. And then you're going, well, how have I ever achieved that? I got this desire. Then he gives you power to do it. So ultimately, he'll be glorified and not you just eating the toast in the toaster. So they're little indicators. So you say, Pastor, what are some of the indicators? Let me give you some of the indicators if you're trying to discover what is it God's saying to me. You just retired. And there's only so many Reader's Digests you can read over and over. And you're wondering, what am I here for? What is my purpose? I thought this was my career path, and they just fired me because they said my performance wasn't good enough. What is it that God's saying to you? So let's find out the indicators of what your purpose is. Here's the first thing you need to ask yourself is, what is your passion? Because God is working in you, and he gives you the desire. What is a passion God is putting in you? So let me ask you this. What's capturing your attention? What's something that captures your attention? What do you think about all the time? What do you think about all the time? What is it? What do you think about? Have you ever thought about, this is what I want to be, and this is what I want to do? These are important questions. Now, when you look under this, what's your passion? I can just say that. But let me help clarify it even more. I'd be taking notes if you're trying to figure out what your life is supposed to be. So let's give you a couple other questions to ask under what is your passion. Let me ask you this. Do you weep over the burden? There are some times that God gives you a burden that's not your calling. So many people think their calling is their burden. A burden and a calling are two different things because one deals with a time-sensitive issue for a season. The other one is something you can never escape because it's a lifetime. Let me explain that again. There are some of you that are caught up with burdens and you're making burdens your call. It's not your call. It is a burden for a season, but it may be an indicator that's speaking to a lifetime call. So you got to ask yourself this question: what do I weep over? Do you know why I'm a pastor? Do you know why I preach the gospel? Because I weep over the lostness of people's eternal soul. It cannot escape me. It is something that I live, eat, I breathe, I think about it all the time. It would never leave me. It's an indication of what my calling is to lifetime vocational ministry. Think about some of these things just for a moment. You got to ask yourself: do you weep over poverty? Maybe you weep over it because you're tired of seeing people broke, and so God has given you a creative idea to create a business, not a business so you can just say, look at all I've retained and I can go anywhere I want to. And that's nice to have those things, but you're so stricken by the hurt of poverty that you want to create jobs for somebody else. You want to be successful in business. What is it? Do you cry over ignorance? Does ignorance bother you? Maybe God's calling you to be a school teacher. Do you find yourself weeping over that? Do you cry over the unborn, of the senseless killing of innocent children in the womb? Do you cry over that? Do you cry over the ladies who are now dealing with the aftermath that you want to minister and heal? Do you cry over that? Do you weep over racial inequality? Do you weep over that? Do you weep over sex trafficking? It might be an indicator that if this thing will not leave you, it could be something that God is stirring a desire, a passion in you. Here's another question. Is it constantly on your mind? I mean, you can't escape it. Starting a company, starting a business, getting an education, training, being a teacher. What is it? Something you want to do. You want people to have housing. You want to be a builder. What is it that's constantly on your mind? Here's another question. Do you challenge others to be concerned about it? Do you find yourself wanting to motivate other people to be concerned about it? Here's another question. Do you have the gifts and the abilities to meet the need? That's a big question to ask. Do I have the gifts and the abilities, or am I increasing in those gifts and abilities? That's part of under your passion. Here's another question. Does the concern increase or decrease with time? That's when you're starting to discern if this is a burden, because sometimes they're seasonal for a moment, that it decreases with time. It's an indication that you have a burden for something, but not a lifetime call. But if it will not escape you, it's an indication of what God is calling your purpose to. Practical stuff that'll help you out just a little bit. Okay, here's another thing. Number two. Not just what's your passion. What are you naturally good at? Usually our gifts are related to things we're naturally good at, okay? So if you come up to us and say, I have a singing ministry, but the only time you're on key is when you cross it, I have a word for you. Just let it go. Just move on. That's an important question. Are you naturally good at this? Is your gift increasing this? Do you have a desire to want to improve it even more? Here's another question that you need to ask. Ask people you know. Ask honest people you know. Ask them a question. Can I sing? If they say, don't push them anymore. When they go, you have a unique voice, just go on. This is, sometimes I can't see my gifts in me, But others can see things in you. If you're having a hard time clarifying, ask people around you. What do you see that I have a passion for? What do you see that I'm good at? What, do you see I have a compassion in a certain area? Ask those kind of questions, because sometimes people don't ask it for you. In fact, let me tell you something. Those of you that are a part of this church and you've never taken the Grow Track, it happens after every service that we have, except on this Sunday. It's not on this Sunday, but it starts up next Sunday. It happens every Sunday. Those of you that are watching online, any part of the country, one of the things that we start doing is not just spiritual gift testing, but we do the Enneagram test, a gospel-based Enneagram test that help you clarify what your personality is, what you're gifted at, so you're not doing things like making coffee in the toaster. People go, I want to be a greeter. Yeah, but yeah. The Gospel Enneagram helps you do a self-analysis, and it's in our fourth class, so get into the Grow class. Those of you who have never done it and you're still wondering, well, I just don't know, and nobody wants to use me in the church, and da-da-da-da-da. No, stop those excuses. Nobody wants to use me in the church, and start finding what you're gifted at and ask other people, and you can do self-analysis through the Gospel Enneagram test when you do the Grow Track, so get on the Grow Track starting next Sunday, okay? And each Sunday you can join it. Here's the last one. Step out in faith. Just step out in faith. If you have no idea what your gift is, then just try doing something. Don't just sit back at home and say, nobody wants to use me. Don't say, well, nobody wants to use me in ministry. Nobody wants to use me at the job. Just start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start a job that you've never tried before. Volunteer. Go on an outreach. Go on a missions trip. Start somewhere to find your gift. You know, when we fire up the kids' first ministries and the nurseries, we need more workers than ever before, friends. Start somewhere. Go on an outreach. Do servant evangelism. Go ask an employer. Go ask somebody that's in a line of work that you feel like you might have passion for, and why don't you shadow them? Free of charge, shadow them. Carry their briefcase. Do whatever they need to do. Shadow them and say, could I follow you for a day or for an afternoon to see if this is something that may just start somewhere? Do something. You know, you say, well, now why do you say that, Pastor Sam? Because I like what Psalm 37:23 says. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Here's what I'm discovering, that sometimes your gifts become apparent while you're serving. While you're shadowing, something starts coming, and the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in giving you the next detail for your life. But it won't happen if you're just going to sit there and do nothing. Start taking steps, and God will start revealing things to you. Now, notice what it says. Let's look at verse 23 again. It says, the Lord directs the what, everybody? What does it say? Say that word again. Notice it didn't say step. Well, I'm just going to quit. I tried out for the worship team, and they said no. And you stop because you just took a step, and the step didn't work. Well, I enrolled at the community college, and I failed the class. So now, because of that one setback, you stop. You keep taking steps, and you keep taking steps, and you keep on trying, and you take the next thing, and you go into the next thing. You try it, and you just keep knocking, and you keep knocking, and keep knocking, and keep knocking, and soon the door will be open to you, and every detail will start happening. How many of you thank God that motion always comes before promotion? It's the steps that no matter if I fail, I'm going to keep taking another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, because I know God's got a purpose, and he's going to reveal the details to me as I just take a step of faith. Can somebody say amen for the practical word of God? All right, here's the next thing that's so important besides the practice. It's intercession. You must be seeking God, and you must be in his presence, or you're going to find the wrong purpose. You're going to let someone else make the decision for you. People can help speak into it, but ultimately it comes from God, because your purpose and prayer go hand in hand. I can tell you something about leadership. Leaders do more than pray, but they never do anything without praying first. We never do anything without seeking the face of God. So if you're wanting to do the next thing and say, Holy Spirit, help me, then I want to encourage you to pray, and not just pray, but pray in the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why I keep telling people, learn more about the baptism. If you've never received the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit and the beautiful gift of intercession in the unknown tongue before God, it is the most powerful thing you will ever do as a Jesus Christ follower that will reveal the purposes of God. You've got to be in intercession. I love Romans 8:26. We read this one in one of our teachings, but I want to remind you again. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. We don't know what God wants us to do, but here's what we do know. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. That's that praying in the language of the Spirit. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Here's what I'm saying, friends. Pray, intercede. Keep praying and asking God. Intercede. You can never do anything without seeking and praying and asking God. I'm not praying, saying just pray once. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on asking and watch him reveal and open the door. What I'm simply saying to you is you've got to press and pursue the presence of God to know his purpose. I love this scripture, John 10:27. Jesus Christ said these very words. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Could you look at that scripture and just read that out loud with me? Come on, say this with me, would you? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Here's the problem here, is we're missing the first two words. We want to listen to what God wants us to do in steps to follow his voice, but the first thing, the reason why God wants intercession from you is because he wants you to know that you're his sheep. I think that's the one thing that's missing in the whole equation, is that some of us are coming to the place where we're looking for a vocation, but you don't know your value. He says, before you want to go vacation, you need to know your value. And the only way you can know your value is that you know you're mine. And the reason for intercession is that I may press into the presence of God, that I know who I am, I know whose I am, I'm somebody to him before I am to do a to-do list. Listen, folks, you were created more than to do a to-do list for God for your assignment here on earth. His ultimate assignment is for you to know your value before you know your vocation. Because if you get your vocation, if you lose the vocation, then you'll lose your value. But if you have your value, you can lose the vocation, but still know I'm his sheep and he's got his hand on me. He says, I want you to know your position before you know your purpose. Because when I preach about on purpose, everybody's got all the practical stuff down, but you got to get this. He wants you to know my sheep, your position before you do your purpose. He wants you to know who you are before you know what you're supposed to do. That's the reason why you are called human beings, not human doings. When you lost your job, you collapsed. When you retired, what else is there to live for? Just play Uno the rest of my life. You are a human being created by the human creator, God Almighty, who intimately wants to know you, and he wants you to know your value before you know your vocation. He wants you to know who you are before you know what you're supposed to do. And that's the whole purpose of it, is to love God completely, to know him, and the rest of these other things follow after that. Oh, can somebody say amen? Why is this so important? Because it all comes down to this. It all comes down to whose image do you have? When you get an intercession and you start seeing, I'm his sheep, I want to know him, he starts revealing vocation, but he first wants you to know your value. And when you do that, you start getting the image of God inside of you, you start getting the identity of God, and you start getting the purposes of God. Let me explain this to you just for a moment, and I'm going to stop on this one. I truly believe that image determines your identity, and that identity produces your purpose. An image of who you have in you shows you the value of who you are. So here's the deal. This is why I'm going to end with this point. It's because whose image you have is so important, because if you have the wrong image, you'll have the wrong identity, the wrong purpose and the wrong value. Image that's in you is so crucial because it affects your identity, your purpose, and what you think of yourself, your value. How many remember Dr. Miles Monroe? How many remember him? If you ever have a chance to dig up some of his writings, I mean, just incredible stuff. I mean, God gave him such a revelation on purpose, but I'll never forget something he said about the word purpose. And first of all, what is purpose? Purpose is the original intent for the cause of the creation of a thing. Okay? Purpose is the original intent for the cause or the creation of that thing, that human. The original intent. And I love something that he said was that when you look at the word purpose, we forget the last four letters of the word purpose. It's the word P-O-S-E, pose. Pose, friends, is an image that you, what do you do? You know, you got that still that cheesy old high school picture. You know, I got that one, you know, this one like this. You know, big old lapel pins, you know, big old lapels that look like jet airplanes, you know, and the wide tie and all that stuff. I want to get rid of that image, but I can't. It's there forever. It's there. But pose is an image or a model. And I love what he said, that before you can ever get your purpose, you must have the right pose in you. When you go back to the very first word that God gave creating human beings, Genesis 1:27, what did he say? What was God's original intent for the cause and the creation of human beings? What was his original intent? Look at Genesis 1:27. He says, so God created human doings. He created human beings in his own what? Image. His own image. In the image of God, he created them. Here we go. He wants to be clear. Males and females, he created them. Image. His pose in us brings us our purpose. And when you start getting his image inside of you, you start getting your purpose because you have the right pose. And then he can do Ephesians 2:10, which is to compose your life. You know what the word compose means? The word compose literally means, compose means to put in proper order or to create in order. That's why when you read Ephesians 2:10, we are his what? His what? Workmanship or masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Watch this, that word workmanship is the word poem, because in the Greek it's the word poema. But the verb of that word poema literally means to compose or to put in order a masterpiece or a poem. So what does Satan do? Here's what he's going to jack with. Your image. God said, let us make man in our image, but now look what's happened. Satan takes out the pose of God and he puts in the negative of his image in. So much so that someone could actually come to the point to not even believe that they were created in the image of God, even male and female. So messed up that now, when someone sexually abuses them, that image stays in there. Satan puts that in there, and they never get restored with what the image of God said they were really supposed to be treated. Or they go through a breakup of an offense, and now their image of every man or every woman is because of the wounds of that previous relationship. And he leaves it in there. Or there's a hurt that happens to him, an injustice that happens to him, and Satan wants that image to stay in there the rest of your life. And God says, oh, no, 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 no. Let me show you your value and your position, who you are. But Satan takes all these events in our lives. He takes the disobedience of our lives and says, let me put this image in you. Let me take out the image of God and put this negative in. So much so to the place that you don't even believe you are what God created you to be. Are y'all tracking with this? So what happens then when we get the wrong way? Why is it so important that you make smart decisions about who speaks into your life, what people say into your life and that all the static of the world doesn't jack you up. Why is this so important? I've got to keep the image of who God says I am and what his word says in my life, because Satan is always trying to take out the pose of God so that the negative gets in, because that way God can't compose. But what happens is Satan doesn't want to compose my life. He wants to decompose my life. So what does decompose mean? Write it down. It's not in the notes. Decompose means to rot or to decay in order to destroy. And he starts destroying the image of who you are. He starts destroying what a marriage and a family ought to be. He starts destroying what unity ought to be. He wants to keep the negative in there by taking out the pose of God, putting the negative of the world, the negative of sin, the negative of the hurt, leave it in there. So now that God's purpose cannot happen, but now he starts to decompose and he starts to tear and to rot and to tear apart the marriage, tear apart the human, tear apart their mind, tear apart who they are. But friends, can I tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross because he had the image of God. He created you in the image of God, and he wants to put his pose in you so that you can get your purpose in life, so that he can start composing your life, so Satan cannot put his negative in, but God's purpose can come in, so you can have the purpose of God, so he can compose your life, so Satan cannot decompose your life. Do you suppose I could be right? And that's what the breakdown is. That's the reason why the constant destruction. That's the reason why the tear up of the family. That's the reason why Satan wants to divide businesses and churches and families. Why? Because he enjoys rot and decay and destruction. But God says no. Mm-mm. And here's the deal with Satan. What he does with your life and my life is all the negatives that have happened in our lives, here's what happens. He makes you think you're beyond repair. He'll make you think that the marriage is beyond hope. He'll make you think that the world is beyond hope, a nation's beyond hope. He makes you think a company, a church is beyond hope. He'll make you think you're beyond hope. Look at all your sin. Look at all your decomposing rot of sin in you. And here's what some people are thinking. Pastor, my life feels like a compost heap. Have you ever gotten to a place where you felt like your life was a compost heap? Two of us, but it's okay. It'll still preach. Do you know what I've also noticed about rotten decay of compost bins? Some of you have some in your backyards. It stinks. But have you also ever noticed that out of that rotten decay, that some new birth and new growth can be used out of rotten decay and bring up some of the greatest vegetables? Some of the greatest fruit. My Lord, when I was a kid in the garden, we used cow manure in there and it worked. God says, let me take all the decomposing and I'll take it. And I'm going to turn this around by putting my purpose, my image back inside of you. And my purposes arise, and watch me start composing your life in a way you'd never dreamed before. Come on, friends, how many know we are his workmanship, created for good purpose? Come on, we've been called by God. Come on, that's what you are. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I want you to live life on purpose. And if there's decomposing, give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. He'll turn into something brand new with new life. Amen, church.